I want to talk to you this morning about moving with the cloud. Derek mentioned that in his word, the word he shared, and that's the message for today, moving with the cloud. We lived in Haleville, Alabama prior to moving to Florence, and Haleville's claim to fame is that on February the 16th in 1968, the very first ever 911 phone call took place between Rankin Fite, a state representative from Alabama, and Tom Bevel, an Alabama U.S. representative. Very first ever 911 call. And now 911 is what you dial for help all across the country, and it's been adopted by the nations, literally, in some form or fashion. But it began down there in Haleville. It's kind of the claim to fame. And 911 has stood for that. You know, if you need help, 911. You know, I've preached a message before about God's 911. You know, Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I'll answer you and show you great and mighty things which you know not. But 21 years ago today on 9/11, 911, the Twin Towers were struck by terrorists by the use of jets who became huge bombs to blow up these buildings and as well as the Pentagon, hit part of the Pentagon and so forth. And now 911 not only means a call you make for help, but it refers to an event that changed the world. It really did. Those of you that do much traveling realize going to the airport prior to 911 was a breeze for the most part. And now it's a major headache. It's literally changed the world. But times of transition, times of chaos, times of change, they tend to do that. They tend to mark people. They tend to brand us. They tend to shift things. We are in a time of transition in our nation. It's very obvious some of the things that have been our moorings and foundations are being threatened. We are in a time of change as a congregation, at least geographically, facility-wise. It's a time of change. I believe it's a time, as I've shared before, when it's kind of similar to a new beginning, that all of the people that have been brought here during these past years from different places with different calls and giftings and different histories and different heartaches and different hurts and so forth, God has brought us together, and I believe He's equipping and training and teaching us to become a house of healing for the nations, and that's part of who we are and part of what we're called to do. I want us to look this morning in the book of Exodus chapter 13 at a time of change. It was preceded by great chaos as well. And it's when God delivered the children of Israel from their Egyptian bondage. Their leaving Egypt was preceded by incredible miracles and tremendous chaos and upheaval, particularly for the Egyptians. A great time of change. And they were being carried to the land God had promised Abraham 400 years prior for Abraham's descendants. Abraham had it, but God told him about the future. And it'd be 400 years, the time of the iniquity of the Amorites would be fulfilled and so forth. And that time came and God was setting Israel free, led them through the Red Sea. And His plan was to take them into the Promised Land, had the route laid out. But that all changed one day. But what I want you to see this morning is how God chose to lead them from where they were to where they were going. From their former life in Egypt to the new life waiting in Canaan. And in Exodus 13, this got so much good stuff in it. We're going to pick up in verse 19. And God's Word says, "And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, 'God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you.' Verse 20, so they took their journey from Succoth and camped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Let me jump over into Numbers chapter 9, verses 17 and following. And we're given a little bit more about how this worked. Verse 17, Numbers 9. Whenever the cloud was taken up from above the tabernacle, after that, the children of Israel would journey. And in the place where the cloud settled, there the children of Israel would pitch their tents. At the command of the Lord, the children of Israel would journey. And at the command of the Lord, they would camp. Isn't that fascinating? A pillar, a big cloud, a pillar of cloud by day. Obviously, it was a cloud that could be easily detected and recognized from other clouds. And a pillar of fire that would be there at night, hovering, settling upon the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, around which the 12 tribes of Israel would gather, under which would be their tabernacle, in which would be the Holy of Holies, behind whose curtain would be the Ark of the Covenant. At each end would be the golden angels, the cherubim. Underneath the lid of that Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, would be the would in the future lie the future broken stones of the Ten Commandments and Aaron's rod that budded. All that had not happened yet, but that was the picture. God's glory settling upon, and then it would come into the Holy of Holies and rest upon the Ark of the Covenant. And then when God wanted them to move, the cloud would move. They'd pick up the tent, put it together, and pack and follow the cloud. When the cloud would stop, they would settle, put up the tent of meeting under it, and camp about it. And that's the way they were being guided. And I believe from this today, we can learn some things by the Word, through the Spirit, that will help us in this time of transition that we're in right now as a congregation. So let's jump right in it. The first thing I want you to notice is following the cloud is especially important during times of transition. And what's that cloud represent? The presence of God. Now that's always important. It's never unimportant. But it is of particular importance in times of transition to keep your eye in the right place. That's just like, long as you're standing still, you can look around, you can look up and down, you can do what you want to. But you start walking and do a lot of that, and you're going to end up in a mess. And it's the same way in our Christian journey. We have to look up, as it were, keep our eyes on the cloud. It's important, particularly in times of transition. And we'll see at the end of the message today that that's also a time when we can start getting a lot of our own good ideas that are not from the Lord. Now, second thing I want you to notice, moving right along, hopefully with the cloud in this message, is moving with the cloud is different than moving with the crowd. The cloud moved, and then the crowd moved. If the crowd moved and the cloud didn't move, then you were moving wrongly. And there's a lesson in that. We're living in a time today that a lot of times we have to make the choice. Am I going with the crowd or am I going with the cloud? Well, what are people going to think about me if I do this God's way? Well, I know what the Word says, but what are people going to think? Instead of, well, this is what the Word says, and I know what I think. And so, Lord, help me to live according to what Your Word says, so that I can rightly influence people who may not agree with this. That's so important. The Lord's given me a message on that I'm chiseling on, but it's just so important. So it's two different things. The crowd, you know, when it was mentioned up here when the 12 spies earlier in the prophetic time. The 12 spies were sent out. Only two came back with God's report, Joshua and Caleb. And they ended up going into a 40-year cycle of circling in the wilderness instead of living in the place God promised them. Because they let 10 men, those 10 spies, 10 men with a negative report turn the hearts of 4 to 6 million people. That's the power of a negative report. At other places in their journey, complaining in their tents and murmuring in their tents brought some terrible things. They got what they wanted and didn't want what they got. They wanted some meat. So the Lord gave them quail up to the chin. They got sick of it. And that's just our human nature. You find this, that right in the middle of God's faithfulness in providing what you need where you are, you can complain. In other words, in the middle of His faithfulness, we in our unfaithfulness can complain about His faithfulness. They did. And many of them died in the desert. You see this pattern. They rise up, then they have a meltdown, or they melt a bunch of gold down, and they end up dying in the desert. Their problems, murmuring, complaining, idolatry, running ahead of God. Like, well, Moses hadn't come down, we'll make us a God. Wanting what they left behind because of fear. Well, we were better off back there. Listen, God's going to require risk. God's going to require us to be uncomfortable. God's going to require us to give up things to make room for what He wants to do in our life. That's just part of the Christian journey. And that's just not the first couple of years. That's as long as you're doing this. As long as you're breathing. We're being transformed. We're being renewed. That's just part of it for His purposes. So following the cloud is different than following the crowd. And thank God, I'm telling you, we are in the greatest time of harvest this world has ever seen. Not necessarily here in this country, but other countries are exploding with revival. But even here in this country, there are pockets where people are getting hungry. It's amazing the number of people that I bump into. Like, I want to know more about the Holy Spirit. I want to know more about how the Lord manifests, about spiritual gifts, about signs and wonders, about power. But you see, the cloud is a literal manifestation of God's presence. And people are hungry for God's presence. The unexplainable that can't be explained by the work of men's hands. Now, a lot of what we do through our hands with God's love in our heart is transformative for people. I'm not denying that. But I'm saying you don't have to settle for one or the other. It's both. So follow the cloud. That is so important. I got a call just very recently from a pastor in another state, and he says, We're beginning to have a lot of people from other churches that don't believe like we do in the fullness of the Spirit, and they're needing teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's happening in a lot of places. People were made for it. It's only right for us to expect that they should be hungry for it when they really start aiming at God. We should grow in our hunger. That's why I heard Bill Johnson say one time that in the physical realm, when you're physically hungry, then you can eat a lot and you're not hungry anymore. But in the spiritual realm, the more you eat, the hungrier you get. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. The next thing I want to share with you is it's so important in times of transition to honor and remember those who have gone before us, whose sacrifice and favor have helped bring us to this place. Let me repeat that. It's important for us to honor and remember those who have gone before us, whose sacrifice and favor have brought us to this place. We see that in Exodus 13, verse 9. It's interesting that Moses is sharing something that Joseph made the people promise him. Joseph had died a long time before this event had happened. But this scripture says, And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. Why? Why'd you do that, Moses? For he had placed the children, that is, Joseph had placed Israel under Solomon, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. It's like Joseph is saying, now I'm dying here in Egypt, but you're not going to always live here. God's going to keep his promise to our father Abraham. God promised Abraham, whose son Isaac, it was passed from him to his son Jacob, it was passed from him to his son Joseph. You remember, why was Israel in Egypt? A famine had stricken Israel. Jacob brought all his family to Egypt. He had sent, God had sent, through the betrayal of Joseph's brother, Joseph into Egypt. And now Joseph had had such favor before God and Pharaoh that he is now over Egypt under Pharaoh himself. And so a place for them to live was provided, food was provided. They were literally saved from extinction through God moving through Joseph. And Joseph saying, I've seen it. I know the promise he made to Abraham, and God watches over his word to perform it. I want my bones to be where you are. That's what God promised us. And in a sense, those who may no longer be with us, who have gone before us, who have prayed, who have labored, who have sacrificed, we are where we are because of who they were when they were here and what they did when they were here. And honor is so important. And I couldn't help but think of Brother Red Robertson, just one example in our congregation. Bless Brother Red's heart. That man burned with the hunger for revival to see God's Spirit move. As a matter of fact, on August the 20th, 2019, in our Tuesday morning men's meeting, we were having a time of prayer, and Brother Red wanted to share something. He often did that. There are a few times along the way when he would get to share it, and I thought, I want to keep this. And I hit record on my phone. Mickey, bring me that microphone, please. I want to share something with you. A little over 3 years ago, back there in the room where the couches are, Brother Red sat in one of those couches. Those of you who knew him, most of us did, he was a man who burned with love for the Lord and for what God wanted to do in God's in his people. This is Brother Red. Okay, we ready back there? We're going to turn this up.
I thank the Lord who wants us to believe. He said, I'm coming to look after a perfect church. He said, without spot, or wrinkle, or any such thing. And I want to tell you, there's nothing that God can't do so he can put the church together wherever. Don't make no difference how we think or what we think. He said, I'm coming back after a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And there ain't nothing that he can't do. And he's going to do that. And he's coming back after that church. And he's moving now. And he's moving it to where we see that God is moving to a place in everybody's life. And God's going to change these doctrines, and he's going to have one doctrine, and it's going to be a glorious church, and I won't get to see it, I don't guess, but it don't make no difference if I don't. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Amen.
Of course, Brother Red's now with the Lord, and he's seeing everything. He's part of that great cloud of witnesses we read about in the book of Hebrews. No telling how many hours that man has prayed for those of us in this room. Thank God. Lord, we honor Brother Red this morning. We honor every person. There's someone on your heart, in your mind, that's greatly impacted your life, that's gone on before. They foreran for you. You, in part, are who you are because of who they were, who Jesus was in them. honor them right now. Just take a moment. Just honor their memory. And take what you learned for them. Say, Lord, help me live that out. May that be seen in my life. Help my children see that in me. Help my friends see that in me. Help me be that kind of man. Help me be that kind of woman, as the case may be. So it's so important to honor and remember those who have gone before us. Another thing that I want you to notice, and I'll let me put this mic down and go back to my other one. I want to encourage you to remember God's faithfulness to you in the days and nights of your life's journey. Did you notice that the book of Exodus and Numbers said that they had the pillar by day, the fire by night? And it went on to say that way they could see at night and they could go day or night. And metaphorically, you know, we think of day, of being able to see, clarity, things are going good. Night, that's when the enemy works. That's a time of troubles and trials. Some people use the term the dark night of the soul. And in times of transition, the enemy knows that we can be very vulnerable with all the change, because a lot of us don't like change. We're uncomfortable when we don't know just how things are going to be, what it's going to look like, how it's going to be different. Different can be scary to people. But the truth is, by remembering God's faithfulness through the other tough times we've gone through. There's so many stories in the room of breakthroughs and blessings, but there's a lot of stories too of heartaches and hurts of those times. I didn't think there was a way out, but now you can look back and you can see how God made a way out. Isn't that interesting that when you're in the middle of something, you can't always see God's hand at work, and you scratch your head or doubt and unbelief try to rise up, and it's like, it makes no sense. Where's God in all this? But you get a little farther down the road, a little bit more years, more pages turn on your calendar, and you can look back and you can see exactly what God did. When you aren't seeing anything and you realize, oh my goodness, God was doing this. And God has used this for good. Even though it wasn't a good thing, God used it for good. And that thing that happened caused this thing to happen. And this thing that happened brought this great blessing. And it's just amazing how God orchestrates and navigates us through our lives in that way. Bottom line, He can be trusted. So when you're in your next time, when it's dark or you're hurting, you know, you may be in college and you're about finished with your degree, and you look at your degree and you still don't know what you're to do. And you're uncertain. Or maybe you thought you were about to get married and all of a sudden something happened and they found someone else, and there's your plans. It's like they got flushed. Or you had this great plan of what you were going to do, but you didn't know about this major health thing that was going to happen that shifted everything for you. Stuff like that pops up in our life. We have the unexpected knock at our door. The uncertainty may throw us into a place we never dreamed we'd be found. But in the middle of it all, like the old song says, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust. On the mountaintops, in the valleys, in the bright daytime of the noonday sun, and in the darkest hours of midnight, God remains faithful. Faithful is He who has called you, who also will do it. And it's important in these times of transition. Whether it's grief and mourning, hurt and heartache, flaws or failure, God will be faithful. He took a new generation into the promised land. God kept His word He made to Abraham. He'll keep the word He's made to you, for your family. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. So many times we get caught up on where we're going and miss the blessings of where we are. Let me give you a revelation maybe. So much of our life is spent on the way to the next thing. Most of your life. And so if you're always just living for that next thing, you're going to miss so much of what God's doing. Sometimes we can rob the seeming unimportant things of their beauty and their blessing. Like having 30 minutes on your back porch with your spouse, drinking a cup of coffee and taking a deep breath and just enjoying each other's company. I'll be honest with you, like the week before last, usually a couple of nights a week, I'm awake by between 2 and 3 o'clock, and that's it. I'm up. I go outside, and I was praying and walking up and down in the driveway, and it was a clear night. And I got into a space where I could see beyond the trees and the stars. It was beautiful. Beautiful. I had to start repenting. I realized how long has it been that I had just stopped and paused and looked up at the stars and just be amazed at what God's done. Don't allow wrong attitudes in the busyness of life. Let us not allow it to steal the beauty and blessings that we face every day. Now, I'm amped and excited as much as anybody about our new facility, but again, it's just building materials put together and it looks nice. But we want it filled with the glory. And that brings me quickly to my next thing. You'll know the real cloud. From this scripture, you'll know the real cloud. I don't think they got out of their tents in the morning and went out. Where's that cloud? Is it here or not? There's so many of them. I think when they got up, they went out, that cloud was over the tent of meeting, and there was no mistake in recognizing that cloud. It was the real cloud, and they knew it. And particularly at night, when they took a gander outside the tent, there wasn't any trouble to know that the pillar of fire, that's God, it was supernatural. It was God's presence manifesting supernaturally into the realm of the natural. That's what it was. They didn't have any trouble spotting the real cloud. The other day, all the inspectors were at the new building, and the fire marshal was there, and all the leaders of the subcontractors were there. And they brought in this machine, and we're in the worship center, and they filled it up with fake smoke to test make sure all the fire protections is. I mean, I got pictures of it. I came in the room. They were all in there. I came in. I said, wow. I said, this is what we've been praying for. I said, the real thing, not this. But that's what we're praying for, to see the glory. One of them said, are you going to have one of those smoke machines? I said, no, we're not going to have a smoke machine. We don't want to be confused about what's the real thing. We're praying for the real thing. You know, we want... We want the Lord to send an angel from glory and turn that one on the Father's God and let His glory manifest. Amen? Hey, that happens. That can happen. Anyway, it was really cool to walk in there and just imagine, like, this is so cool. They recognized the real cloud. And you know what? God's began manifesting. You know, through the years of my ministry, particularly in my years of Spirit-filled ministry, I can look back, and there's just seasons that come where you begin to see waves of miracles and manifestations of God. And we're beginning, I believe that we are, that the beginning of one of those waves is beginning to happen here at Grace House. And I love it when that happens. We've had a number of healings lately. We've had a lady that had a condition in her brain, this tremendous pain. And she'd been to doctors for a while, was none the better, every day just having tremendous pain. And God healed her. She came back and said, no pain. I'm healed. And her son, who had a heart condition, took him to the doctor and had him checked out. Again, it's gone. I had a brother that had lower back trouble, and the Lord touched you. Yeah. Mark heard about that, and then an ankle as well, and something else. Amen. Boom, boom, boom. And so we celebrate the Lord, and last Sunday, someone who had a guest with them, and this was just so touched my heart to know that God loves people this way. A precious lady who had a growth on her back that had gotten hard and turned black and was very itchy. And right, you remember in the communion service when we asked people, if you need healing in your body, raise your hand. And let's just draw upon the finished work of Jesus, who bore our sicknesses as well as our sins. And she gave witness to her friend that she did that. When she got home, it was gone. Just gone. Isn't that awesome? That God would do things like that. And there's other things that are happening, but just let's just agree together that God's glory is just going to manifest increasingly. Let's believe. Let's expect that. Not in an arrogant way, but in a faith-filled way. Because He loves touching people. He loves loving on people in that way. And then I want to share with you that it's important to remember Father's instruction from the cloud. His last instructions from the cloud. That's at the transfiguration. Moses and Elijah appeared with Jesus. Jesus was transfigured before them. I believe it was at night when it happened because it said they woke up and lifted up their eyes and they saw Jesus being transfigured before them. And Peter, this is what's interesting. Peter sees it and he begins talking. Lord, let us build three tabernacles. See, there's three of them, Moses, Elijah, tabernacle. Let us build three tabernacles. But Mark, now Mark probably used Peter as his reference for a lot of his material, we're told. Listen to what Mark records here. And I'm not going to read all of it. But in Mark chapter 9, verse 4 through 6. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. That just arrested me when I taught it. Because Peter's kind of the leader. He's the outspoken one. You know, he's the brave one. He's the courageous one. So he just starts talking when this starts happening. And he said he did it because he's afraid. Because he didn't know what to say. Now, who does that make sense to? I don't know what to say, so I'm going to say something. I mean, that's what's happening here. And that's what I said earlier about sometimes when God's moving, we can have these ideas come to us. And he should have just listened. Because that's what the Lord told, Father told him. Said, this is when the cloud came, surrounded all of them. And when it disappeared, surrounded them, and the voice came out of the cloud and said, this is my beloved Son, hear Him. And the cloud disappeared, and there was Jesus only. That was the message. You see, Jesus is our cloud. Jesus is our promised land. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Everything that we need to live a good and godly life is found through the revelation we have in Him. Jesus is our promised land. Jesus is our cloud. It's His Spirit that lives in us that we follow. And that's what I mean when I say we need to follow the cloud. All hands on deck. All eyes on Jesus. All ears on the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's the way we're called to live. And that's the way I decree and declare that we're going to go about it here at Grace House. Amen? So very, very important. God's just been so good to us. I'm just amazed at how He moves and works. Our worship team is coming, and while they are, I'm going to embarrass Andrew a moment. I think another day, we've been working in the altar area on the stage a lot at church, and he's doing a lot of custom woodwork himself there. I got to studying about this cloud, moving with the cloud. And the Lord reminded me of the first manifestation of the cloud I ever saw, knowingly. I mean, when I was young, I saw all kind of stuff, but I didn't have any grit, any way to... But after I was called in the ministry... Andrew was young. One night, the television was on. We tried to guard our kids from stuff on the TV, but a commercial came on, and there was this real ghoulish, scary monster person came on, and we tried to turn it off, but it's too late. He saw it. And I was really concerned. I didn't want him to be put to fear because of that, because of some of my own experiences as a child and things I had to struggle with for years. So I put him to bed, and every night Mickey would pray with each of our children. We'd pray for them, share the scriptures, talk to them, pray for them, hug them, kiss them. Good night. So I did that, and in about 15 minutes, I went back just to check on him because I said, Lord, you know, I don't want Andrew to be frightened by what he saw. I don't want anything to influence him wrongly. I went back, and I turned the doorknob quietly and peeked the door open. And hovering over him, he's asleep. I mean, he's asleep. Hovering over him was an oblong cloud. It was about half as long as the bed was, and it was hovering directly above him about 2 feet. It was a translucent cloud. I did this number and everything. Nope, there it was, undeniably. And it was no denying it. And in the moment, I knew this was the Lord. The Lord was protecting him. The Lord was saying, I've got him covered. I believe it was an angel or some type of manifestation of God's presence. But I saw that with my eyes open. These are my early Baptist days. I didn't have the right grid really to put a lot of it in, but I knew that. And I was thinking, I got to thinking that when Andrew was little, most of my preaching preparation, I'd work and study, and then I'd go down in the woods behind the house and I'd preach to the trees. I'd just imagine these trees are people. And I'd stand there and I'd practice my message and I'd preach. Sometimes I'd carry Andrew with me. Maybe he's spared the memory of some of that. But we'd go down into the woods and in that place get down on our knees and pray. And I'd teach him, get down on your knees, and we'd pray. And the first time we did that, I looked up there and there was a rock. You remember getting the rock? And I picked up the rock. And I said, we'll mark this spot so when we pray, we can come back to the same. So every time we'd go back, we'd add a rock or two. And before long, we had a big pile of rocks. And that became our altar. We'd go down the woods and we'd pray. And then, of course, he got saved at age 6. And every night for several weeks, we sat against the wall in his bedroom. And I discipled him. But I look back in time, and it's amazing. I had no idea that just sowing those things that there'd be a time when he and I would stand on the platform together and I'd preach and he'd lead worship, but God leads us that way. A lot of times we don't know the why of why we're doing it, but I want to tell you, it matters for you to take these steps of faith. It matters to sow the right things into the lives of your children. It matters. And I encourage you, some of you here this morning, you may say, well, I did those things, but my child's not in the right place. You keep contending. God hasn't forgotten those words, those prophecies spoken over them, those promises He's made to you. He's watching over those to perform it. Don't get into fear, doubt, unbelief. Don't begin to complain or become resentful as we ministered on earlier in the ministry time. Don't allow those things to steal what God still yet has for you and yours. Let's follow the cloud when it moves. Do the things the Holy Spirit leads us to do. Follow the cloud, not the crowd. Be faithful to the one who's faithful to us. I'm so excited about what's going to happen in this community of believers. I want you to stand with me this morning. And I just encourage you right now to make this a mark on your calendar of your life when you are leaving behind some things that need to stay behind. And you're embracing the things that you know need to be a part of your life for your future. And I charge you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, move with the cloud. Don't be afraid of the giants in the land. Learn to listen when the Lord's about to say something. That's what Peter was doing. He just started talking. Learn to follow bravely in the face of seeming defeat, trusting the God who does the impossible. And like Brother Red said, whether we ever see the fullness of all of it or not, it doesn't matter. He is going to do what He says He's going to do. I want to be with that crowd that's following that cloud. In Jesus' name, amen. Our altar workers are coming this morning. We're going to be here to pray with you. Whatever your burden is, whatever your need is here. If you've never confessed Christ as Lord of your life, I encourage you to come right now and give your life to Jesus Christ. He'll forgive your sins. He'll fill you with His Holy Spirit. He'll lead your life. If you've never followed Him into the waters of baptism, I encourage you to come and share that with us and get ready to get wet for Jesus. I encourage you, if you haven't found the crowd that's following the cloud, you need to do that. If it's here at Grace House, we welcome you. Come and share that with us. This is where I want to follow the cloud. I want to follow the cloud with this crowd. Come and share that with us. We're here. We will pray with you. Just come on right now. In Jesus' name, you're invited to come. Step out from where you are, whatever your need may be. Don't delay. Come right now. Don't put it off. Say yes to Jesus. Ask for the courage. Be brave. Seal it with a prayer of faith. Just don't push it aside. Deal with God when He's dealing with you. So important to learn that. Would you come? From where you are, just come. Come in faith. Just believe it that you're going to receive what God has for you.